Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We are once again blessed by the Creator of the heavens and the earth for an opportunity to participate in a discussion on Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. And we have three outstanding guests with us. We have with us Sister Quran, which is the principal of our school system in Atlanta, Georgia. We have a high school and elementary school, the Sister Clara Muhammad School. And we also have the Deputy Dean Muhammad School. I believe, Sister Quran, are you with us now? Sister Quran?
Yes, I am.
Yes, ma'am. Would you give us an opening statement and share whatever statement you have, and I will then call on the rest, and later I'll ask questions. Go ahead, Sister Quran. Peace be on you, and assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Religion Means Alive.
Wa alaikum assalam. We thank you very much for having us on your program this evening. The Muhammad Schools, as you said, we are one of the premier Islamic schools in the country, and we're very happy to be an institution dedicated to educating our own and to creating amongst our community young people who are committed Muslims ready to go out and be effective global citizens, inshallah. And we have with us also our institutional advancement officer. So this year is a year for us, as we say, for us to rise as an institution. And we're looking at this idea of sustainability and the Muhammad Schools of Atlanta, not just being here in Atlanta, being an institution that is viable throughout the country and the world. And we know to do that, we need to look at some serious things and to really solidify the traditions and the systems that we have in place and build upon those so that we'll have long-term institutions in years to come, hundreds of years from now. We can look back at these days, the pioneering days, and look forward and say that we built something that is definitely worthwhile in our world for all citizens of the world.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You are continuing the tradition of Sadie Hawkins, Brown, and also the great traditions of Sister Clara Muhammad. So congratulations, and now let's turn our attention to Sister Fatima, that is the director of in the Office of Institutional Advancement. Sister, why don't you go ahead and give us your opening statements?
Yes, thank you so much, Imam Alfred Muhammad, for allowing us to take some time to shed some light about the exciting things that are going on here in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Muhammad Schools. I'm definitely blessed to have an opportunity to work with Sister Quran and her leadership as principal. She's been an excellent leader and mentor as I learned my way as my first year here at Muhammad School, so I wouldn't be able to do this job at all without her. And I'd also like to thank Sister Naima Abdullah, who is the president of our PTA, for joining us so that she can represent the parent perspective. Like Sister Quran said, we are definitely embarking on a journey of discovery and how can we move our school as quickly as possible through reform into excellence. And so the first big campaign that we've launched for this year is called the 100. We're looking for 100 few good men and women across the country who want to support Muhammad Schools of Atlanta and make sure that the doors stay open. And so it's called 100 Protectors of Our Legacy. And so we're looking for 100 good men and women who will give $1,000 in the next 2 weeks. So it started on December 14th, and we expect it to end on January 31st. And thus far, we've had great success. We've had people from all over the country calling to lend a hand. We've had the Atlanta community stand for our school and say they will not let our school close. Not that we were even in the close to having the school closed, but we definitely need it for people to understand that we are in an era of change. So once again, I am so excited to be on the air so that we can share what's going on in Atlanta, and I welcome your questions.
Thank you. May we go now to the PTA sister, Naima?
Yes, thank you, Imam Alfred. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I want to thank you for letting us come on. I will be speaking not only from the parent perspective, but at our school, Muhammad Schools of Atlanta. Our association is the Islamic Parent Teacher Student Community Association. And with those four areas, we want to make sure that we are, the mission of the IPTSA is to strengthen the communication between the parents, the teachers, the students, and the community. So it's always important for us to make sure that we have all four facets of those areas working together. One of our biggest goals is to make sure that we're not necessarily a financial aspect of the school, but that we're a social and communicative aspect of the school. So making sure that we communicate with the parents, the teachers, the students, and community is a very, very important thing that we'd like to do, as well as making sure socially we are connecting with our community, not just our school community, but the community that sees Muhammad Schools on the outside. So we encourage everyone to come to Muhammad Schools. We have regular meetings, which happens every Wednesday at 6:30 at Muhammad Schools of Atlanta. And additionally, we always are having one social event at Muhammad Schools, and always making sure that people are staying connected by going to www.muhammadschools.org, clicking on all the areas that they can see the school and all the other facets that we have, and making sure that they see everything that's happening is online. If they have any additional questions, always feel free to call the school at 404-378-4219 and get your questions answered. And I'm also honored to be on this blog talk radio show with Honorable Quran Shakir and Sister Fatima Salam. I've had the privilege of being here in Atlanta in this community for almost 10 years and have grown and learned a lot. So I am open to any questions that people are bringing this way.
Yes, we thank you. Well, first of all, again, congratulations on the school. You know, when I was, some years ago, when I was a resident imam in Baltimore, I oversaw a school, the Sister Claire Muhammad School. And, you know, you all have quite a challenge to run a school, to make sure that you're responsible for budget, students, teachers. You know, it's equivalent to being the superintendent of schools, and you have quite a challenge. Sister Coran, I was wondering if you could share with our audience the philosophy and history of, firstly, the Clara Muhammad school system, and then the history of the Atlanta school in particular.
Of course. As you know, the Muhammad schools across our country got its start from the courageousness of Sister Clara Muhammad, the wife of the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and may Allah grant both of them paradise for the good that they brought to our community and society. Sister Clara Muhammad was concerned about her children understanding their heritage as African Americans, the descendants of great Africans, because in our country that just was not taught in the school system. And this was in the 1930s when it was against the law to send your children, to not send your children to the public school system. And Sister Clara Muhammad took a stand saying she wasn't going to send her children to public school because it was very important for her that her children have a foundation in their own history and understanding who they were. So she would teach them at home. And the police came to her home and demanded that she send her children to school, and they were going to take her to jail. And we have a familiar saying in our community that she said, "I'll be deader than a doorknob before I let you take my children and put them in the public school system." And because of her stand, we have the Muhammad schools now, because eventually they allowed her to do the educating of her own children, and other Muslims began to bring their children to her, and the system began to grow from there, such that we had schools all over the country. That was in 1933. And then 1965, here in Atlanta, we opened our own school. And at the time, Sister Clara Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and our whole community thought that the education that we were offering our children was a superior education. We were teaching them to be critical thinkers on a higher level. So we called our school the University of Islam. Although we were teaching elementary, middle, and high school children, we still called it the University of Islam. Here in Atlanta, that University of Islam began in 1965, and then we ended up having to close in 1976 for financial reasons. And this was also at a time of transition after the passing of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in 1975. His son, Imam Warisuddin Muhammad, assumed leadership of the community and began to take us in a different direction where we honored and lived up to the Quran. And in so doing, then we took a serious look at who we were as Muslims. And that look included our committing ourselves to building our Islamic communities within our own cities and states versus channeling everything to one headquarters. So our school closed, and we immediately formed a team of committed community members who studied what does it take for us to open the school up and have it to be able to stand on its own and to be a system that we would be proud of. That search and that look went on for about 3 years, and in the fourth year, we were ready then to open the school. So January 1980, we reopened our school, and when we reopened the school, at that time, we had 11 teachers and 60 students, and we went up to the sixth grade. And when we reopened, Imam Muhammad suggested that we name the school after his mother because of her courageous stand. And this was happening all around the country where schools that were called the University of Islam began to change their names to Sister Clara Muhammad School. So when we opened our school, we reopened it with the name Sister Clara Muhammad. So that became the name of our school. And then we went on and we began to really do well with educating our children. And by 1987, 1988, we made a decision, and the board that we had at that time that looked at reopening the school was called the Consultative Board. So 1987, 1988, the then Consultative Board made a decision that we were going to add a high school to our school system. So we began to add a grade a year and to build a high school system at that point, and that was in 1987. In 1988, we decided that we were going to name that school after Imam Muhammad to show this progression from the mother to the son. So the elementary school was still called Sister Clara Muhammad Elementary and Middle School, and then the high school became W.D. Muhammad High School. So our high school started in 1987 and got its name in 1988. Our first graduating class was 1992. A class of eight students, and they took on the title First and Simply the Best. And that was 21 years ago when that class graduated. So this year we will graduate our 21st class, and currently we have 384 students who have graduated from the school since the time that we reopened. And our history is a long history of struggling to establish this institution and to really build on it. And so we've had our ups and our downs, and we've had lots of opportunities for us to grow and to learn and to really experience transition and change, and I think that's where we are right now. We've had several principals and directors for the school who have all been very good and made a wonderful investment in our school. In 1995, we decided that we really wanted to build an institution that's going to be around that others viewed as a viable institution, so we embarked on accreditation. And we did first Georgia accreditation and then national accreditation. So we began the process in 1975, and by 1999, we were ready to receive the accreditation. So we got our first accreditation in 1999, and we got accredited through the Georgia Accrediting Commission, GAC, and at that time we were accredited with quality, and we continued to receive that accreditation with quality from GAC, the Georgia Accrediting Commission, alhamdulillah. And then we also did national and international accreditation through what was then SACS, and now it is SACS-CASI Advanced Ed. So that is the agency that accredits our institution, and we've continued to go for reaccreditation. Every 5 years, we're reaccredited through the agency. So alhamdulillah, that's another feather that we can say we have been able to achieve and maintain with us. So we have our graduates who go from our school, go from pre-K through the 12th grade. And most of our graduates, well, we are happy to say that we have a 100% graduation rate, and we have a 99% college acceptance rate throughout these years. So our students are able to matriculate through our school system, and if they come through our school system, then they are also able to get accepted to the colleges, most of the time the colleges of their choice. Many of our students also are able to get scholarships to go to school, and academic scholarships, athletic scholarships, and, you know, opportunities to really get an education that others may not necessarily have. And because we have small classrooms with a small teacher-to-student ratio, then our students are able to get a lot of one-on-one assistance in the school. So that's the important part of our foundation. We continue to be a school that, although we are under the auspices of the Atlanta Masjid of Al-Islam, we're still operating on our own, with our own board and our own school leadership. And that was important for the accreditation process as well. And I know a lot of our communities operate where they are directly linked to the masjid, and the leadership for the school comes from the masjid. Our school leadership is separate from the masjid school leadership, and I think that's important for us to also note.
And congratulations on that, and you're following the directive of the leader, Imam Debbie Dean Muhammad. He insisted
Absolutely.
That be that way. So I really just appreciate your governance. Now, are you all accredited by the Southern Association of Secondary Schools and Colleges? And if so,
yes,
you are, okay, that's right, okay, Erie, North Central, each, okay, great. Now, that's a major accreditation. And tell our audience why it's important to be accredited by what is called the regional accreditation. I thought that stood for, I'm a Southerner from Lynchburg, Virginia, so, you know, our colleges and schools and was accredited by the Southern Association of Secondary Schools and Colleges. Explain to the audience, what does it mean to have the accreditation of the regional accrediting bodies?
Well, that means that what they have looked at when they come into our system, they've looked at our school leadership, they've looked at our finances, they've looked at our student body, they've looked at our teachers, they've looked at our curriculum, they have looked at how we interact with the community and the image and impression that we give in the community. And there are standards that the association has to say that this is what makes for a quality school, and this is what makes education systematic. And the whole focus is on the children and the students and building these young people who are confident and able to go out into the world and to achieve. That's the premise that SACS operates from. And so they go through school systems around the country and the world to make sure all of them meet these standards, and that's what we have had to do through the years, meet those standards in order to be considered accredited through them.
And which is also, I may add, is the Emory University, Atlanta University, yes. Clark Atlanta University. You're among many illustrious schools. We haven't spoken about philosophy, and I notice you use a terminology called global citizen. You know, all schools, all education institutions operate on the philosophy, John Dewey, A.S. Summerhills, et cetera, et cetera. I would like you to share with our audience your philosophy, the philosophy of the Muhammad school system.
Well, we began with a mission statement that says that the mission of Muhammad Schools is to provide an education based on Quranic principles in a universal application. That means that every subject that we teach, we come from the perspective of the Quran. So although we teach and our students learn to recite the Quran, we try to make it so that they are able to apply the Quran in their lives. So it's a universal application of the Quran. You know, we have a religion that allows us this international and global perspective so that we can connect and bond with people all over the world because we know the oneness of God. So all of our lessons, math, science, social studies, all of our subjects come from this perspective, this Quranic perspective of the oneness of God. And so that's important for us. And our goal is, the mission statement says, our goal is to teach all students to accept their God-given responsibilities and full potential as we provide a nurturing environment that engages students in discovery and critical thinking. With that, we want our students to not so much rely solely on the teacher to give them information, but for them to take ownership of their own education and to understand that Allah has given each and every one of us a talent and an ability, and it is our responsibility to use that talent and those abilities to advance the world. So that's the premise of our education, is that our children have to learn that they have a duty and a responsibility to the world, and that they are, I think in society the president has some statement that every child can learn. We believe that. Every child can learn, but they can learn because God gave them that responsibility and that ability to learn. And they may learn differently from one another, and they don't have to learn the same way. That's why we have in that discovery and critical thinking, so that our teachers are responsible for finding creative ways of engaging our students in their discovery, in their learning process. And it's not just the regular get out there and dictate and just lecture to the students, but find ways to get them engaged in the learning so they're a part of that process. That's a big part of our philosophy that we're really working to improve upon. I won't say that we've got it down packed and if you come there, you're going to see the model for everybody to follow, but it's definitely within our philosophy and it's a goal and it's something we work toward achieving on a regular basis. So we do a lot of workshops and professional development and discussions around these ideas of discovery and critical thinking and getting the students to take ownership of their learning. And then the last part of it is that we have this cooperative partnership among students, parents, and the community in creating a dynamic, God-conscious community of enlightened leaders and effective global citizens. So we believe that we are a school and an institution that does not stand by itself, that without our parents, without our community, without our students, and without our teachers and the staff at the school, we wouldn't have a school. And our bottom line, we keep going right back to our children. So the main reason that we are there is for our children. We are looking down the road, and I often say to the teachers when they're in the classroom that what you have to do is come from the perspective that ethically you're teaching your imam, you're teaching your doctor, you're teaching your judge, you're teaching someone who's going to have to take care of you in 20, 30, or 40 years. So you want to make sure that you make a sincere and good investment so that the return that you get will be a caring and intelligent and loving person who's able to take care of us on down the road and then produce for us a progeny that will do the same thing. So we're not teaching and establishing our institution for now, but for years and years to come.
Thank you. I would like to now ask the president of the PTA, why not send your children to a charter school? Why not send them to a Catholic school? Why not send them to a public school? Why W.D. Muhammad High School? Why Sister Claire Muhammad School?
Well, I think the premise of what parents are looking for in education has to be understood by the parent themselves. And so when you're thinking about sending your children, what is a charter school? Oftentimes parents don't know what specific schools are. So when we're thinking about Muhammad Schools of Atlanta, W.D. Muhammad High School, and Clare Muhammad Elementary and Middle School, we are looking at not only a school but a community. So oftentimes you see people migrating to Atlanta. They're not migrating to Atlanta to live in the city of Atlanta. They're migrating to Atlanta to send their children to Muhammad Schools of Atlanta. So that in and of itself is an impression that we are making not only on the world, but on the minds and hearts of the people in this Islamic community in the United States of America nationwide. So it's important that people understand and have grown to learn and understand what Muhammad Schools of Atlanta means, not only to themselves, but nationwide. So when we think about the history of what the school was established, you know, we often think about the school now as opposed to when it first started. So the school was built on sacrifice. So if parents are still looking to sacrifice for their children, Muhammad Schools is the answer. If parents are looking to participate, Muhammad Schools is the answer. If parents are looking to have their children with other children that are Muslims, that have family lives, that are predicated on Islamic principles and Islamic lifestyles, Islamic social life, then Muhammad Schools of Atlanta is the answer. If people are looking for something outside of that, I can't say that Muhammad Schools will meet their needs. If people are looking for a school that has education levels that are high and education levels that we're still striving to meet, then Muhammad Schools of Atlanta is the answer. So, you know, there's so many reasons that parents can, you know, check it off why they want their children to go to a specific school. But then there's also, you know, not just the cost of the school, but the value. What are you not only as a parent going to walk away from, but what your child is going to walk away from? And when you come here, oftentimes people say that they were looking to come here to kind of be a part of a family, and that's what you get when you come here. When you walk into the doors, people are smiling at you. Literally everyone knows everyone. People can lean on each other when we have hardships. And then when we have our strengths, we're able to kind of, you know, have a joyous occasion with all of those strengths. Even right now, you know, we have a basketball team. So basketball is really our main sport at Muhammad Schools of Atlanta. We also have soccer and track. But basketball is the livelihood of the school. And so when we look at our 14-1 record for the Khalif male basketball team, people love basketball. So when you come to the school, one thing that you should experience is a basketball game at Muhammad Schools of Atlanta.
I'm going to come just for that. Let me ask you this, Sister PTA President, Sister Naima. Do you all, I mean, this school also has a very famous alumni that is a basketball star. Would you tell us about him?
Okay, well, Sharif Abdul Rahim, we have our gymnasium named after him. He did attend Muhammad Schools of Atlanta. Currently, he does not live in Atlanta, but he still comes and visits. His father is an imam here in Atlanta. And so one thing that we have here at the school is we still do have people who come out of Muhammad Schools and kind of enrich what we say, the world. They become effective global citizens. So when you start looking at the life of Sharif Abdul Rahim, you'll see not only did he play basketball, but he moved on to bigger ventures of not only just staying in basketball, but becoming a leader in that area. If I'm not mistaken, he does own his own basketball team or is in a leadership position in another basketball team. But he's not just making sure that basketball is the only thing that he's honing in on. He's still serving his Schumann family. And so that's very, very important. So when we think about him, we have to look for where does that come from? It doesn't just come from his family community. It comes from the community of the school that he attended. So it's important for people to know that as their children are growing, whatever they're engrossing them in, they will become. And so Muhammad Schools is a great example of what we want our children to be in the future.
I appreciate it. Now, Sister from the Office of Institutional Advancement, Sister Fatima, would you tell us why this $1,000 campaign, the 100? Of course, if you get 1,000 people giving you $1,000, would you turn it down?
Absolutely not.
You're able to overcrowd your bank account. Oh, I mean, I didn't want to cause any problems, any, you know, where your financial sites crash. Don't let Imam Alpha be the cause of that. So go ahead. Tell us why this campaign is so important.
Right. Well, at Mama Schools, we value every child, and we are definitely racing towards excellence. And so I was brought on in this the summer of 2012 to really look at ways in which we can become sustainable long-term. And so as I did my assessment and review, I saw some incredible things that are happening at Muhammad Schools. But just like all institutions, and especially private schools, in 2008, when the economy changed, it changed the direction of a lot of private schools, and it's not just our school. It's schools all around the country. And schools who are basically able to survive just on tuition and not necessarily having any kind of fundraising arm or advancement arm found themselves having to go back to the drawing board. And so Muhammad Schools is one of the few schools who are actually taking it very seriously and looking at a more sophisticated approach to raising funds and ensuring long-term sustainability. And so we decided that in order for us to really be able to do our due diligence and look at the issues that are facing our school, that we needed to have some breathing space, and we needed to make sure that the operating expenses and the payroll and all of that is covered, so that when we take this time to really look like at every aspect of our school, our teachers are being paid, our students can still come to school, and the doors can remain open. And so that's why we decided the time is now to look at these different aspects. And so that's why we decided to launch this campaign. And if you're interested in participating in the campaign, you can either go online, as Sister Naima said, at www.muhammadschools.org, or you can mail in a check to Muhammad Schools of Atlanta, 735 Fayetteville Road, Atlanta, Georgia, Southeast. And so we would definitely welcome any support, whether it's financial support or if you have volunteer experience, any ideas and suggestions that are working in your community or in your school. We are definitely open to hearing them, because we believe that this is not just our school. This is all of the schools under the auspices of Imam Worthy Muhammad. And so this is a charge for us all to move, and inshallah we'll be able to move fast forward together.
Yes, I think. Did you give the, if one were to go on the website, is it possible for them to click the donation and do by PayPal, do MasterCard or Visa, to send that $1,000 to you?
Yes, sir. If they go to www.muhammadschools.org and click on annual fund, it will take them to our PayPal account, and they'll be able to go ahead and donate right there online from the comfort of their home.
Let me congratulate you, Sister Principal, on having an Office of Institutional Advancement. Usually we see that at colleges, universities, and the prep schools of other ethnic groups, that they have an Office of Institutional Advancement. So I think that is an achievement, rather than, you know, bean souping it or ham boning it, as some of our people have been used to doing. They don't have this long-range planning. Some of the leaders have walked around with the whole payroll in their pockets. I saw one school, and the leader was paying the imam of this particular school, I won't name it, and he was paying the people out of his pocket. So I'm congratulating you all on having a system. And also, I want to firstly, appropriately, thank you and congratulate you, Sister Quran, Principal Quran. And I wanted to ask you to tell us something about your educational background. That's an appropriate name, first of all, to have the name Sister Quran to be running our school.
Well, let me first say that it's not Quran that's really running the school per se. Although I am principal and I am happy to have the leadership of Muhammad School, that leadership comes with a whole board, actually. So the Muhammad Schools of Atlanta are under the auspices of the Atlanta Masters, like I said, and the Atlanta Masters has a majlis that is voted in by the members of the Atlanta Masters, and those members vote all of the board members for the Majlis, and so it includes three women and six men. Then the Majlis appoints the consultative board of advisors, and that consultative board of advisors are people in the community, not just the Atlanta Master community, but people in our community who have experience and expertise in certain areas of curriculum, budgeting, school and community affairs, facilities. So there's a number of members on that board. And Sister Naima, our CPSCA president, also sits on that board. So these individuals are the individuals who are considered the governance and leadership for the school. And so I am the one who serves administratively right there on site at the school, and the board makes the policies for the school. So I just want to make that clear. And it was the board that, in looking at advancing our school and looking at the sustainability of our school, who decided, you know, it's time for us to rise and to move in another direction. And we looked at this idea of having our institutional advancement officer who serves with development and branding and building the institution's name and pocketbook up. So that was very important for us. For me, I am a proud product of the Muhammad Schools. My background comes with being raised the daughter of a minister and a captain, and so coming through the Nation of Islam and then embracing true Islam with the leadership of Imam Muhammad.
Can I ask you what city are you from, and perhaps tell us your family background? You're one of the ministers of the Nation of Islam. I know I must know him, so let our audience also know that you are second generation, as my wife is a second generation member of our community.
Yes.
From our school.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes. And actually, in my family right now, we have four generations of Muslims, alhamdulillah. And our family, my mother and my father, were among some of those first Muslims in the Atlanta area. There were seven of them who came in and helped to build the mosque then and get the Honorable Elijah Muhammad here. And I was right here in Atlanta. And then my father was sent to Birmingham, Alabama, to be the minister there. And
your father used to be Brother Minister Otis?
No,
that's your father.
Uncle. My father came before him.
Okay.
But I was Minister James.
Okay,
before him.
Yes.
Yeah, so and then we moved back to Atlanta. And we moved back here primarily for us to go to school because my parents had seven children and they wanted us to come to the school. So when my uncle went to Birmingham to be the minister there, then we moved back here to Atlanta to go to school. And so my sisters and my brothers and I attended the University of Islam then, and just before we were able to graduate, because we were a lot younger than a lot of the other students, just before we were able to graduate, the school closed. And some of my sisters and brothers had to go to public school, and I ended up being able to go on to college. And even though I was not of college age, I was still able to go and to do well, alhamdulillah, in the college system.
When did you attend college at?
I initially attended college in Bishop College in Dallas, Texas, and then came back here to Atlanta to Georgia State University, and that's where I got my degree from here in Atlanta, Georgia.
You know, I'm so glad to see our schools survive whilst Bishop College perished. You know, it's a sad thing. And I think African-American Muslims should take a lesson from African-American AME people that have been responsible for large numbers of our colleges. And we saw Bishop. Paul Quinn is on the verge of closing. St. Paul is on his last leg. So as an African-American
institution.
Pardon me?
I said Morris Brown.
Morris Brown. I didn't want the name there. In Atlanta. But, you know, we have to be responsible. We said we believe in the philosophy of self-help. Imam Muhammad, the Ahmadiyya Muhammad, that tradition is being responsible for our own education, being responsible.
Right.
I'm not going to get on the rostrum here. I'm just going to. But I do, you know, I'm adamant about that. And I want to invite you all, after you get up from your Sunday meetings on Sunday, I to listen to my lectures that happens at 3 o'clock. I make it convenient so everybody going to church and going to the messages, that on Sundays at 3 o'clock I give a lecture. The first Sunday is education. The second Sunday is business, this Sunday. Third Sunday is culture. And the fourth Sunday is governance. Now, let me ask you this about the board. How many members of the board it is that there are? And I don't know whether you care to name them, but I think that I know some of them, the responsible business people. And this is, it's just a very good model. I wanted to ask you that, you know, tell us something about the board. And,
okay,
and
yes.
Also, you are also, you're the new, this is your first year as director, isn't that correct?
Well, I don't like the title director, so I'm the principal.
I don't want to get an F on my paper today, so I'm going to give you, I want an incomplete at least, so let me just, so you are the principal. Okay, sister principal.
Yes. And so the principal is one of the positions on the consultative board. We also have the chair, who is Dr. Bello. And Dr. Bello was superintendent of schools in Bermuda. So we think that's great experience that we bring to the board. He, in addition to being the chair of the board, he works with the curriculum for the school. And then we have Luqman El-Amin, I'm sorry, Luqman Abdurrahman, who is in charge. He attended the school as well. And now he's a teacher here in the Atlanta area, and he's over budget and finance. We have Rama Abdul Alim, who is in charge of school and community affairs, and she served on the board for a number of years. Rama is a great friend of the Muhammad School, so she attended Duke University, where she met a lot of our students. But her father is also an imam, I think in Philadelphia or somewhere in that area. We have Fatima El-Amin, who is from our class of 1993. And Fatima is an attorney here in the Atlanta area. And Fatima works with personnel for the Muhammad Schools. And as I said, we have Sister Naima, who's our IPTSDA president. She's on the board. We have Dr. Charlene Fareed, who is new to our board. And Dr. Fareed works a lot with organizations on building systems and improving how the institutions operate. Dr. Fareed is another of our personnel advisors on the board. They have these titles of advisors because they're not really paid and they're not in a position to make the administrative decisions, but they advise me as a school leader on things, and like I said, they make policy for the school. We also have Askia Bashir, who is a new member of our board as well. And Brother Askia has been in our community for a number of years. His children have attended the school. He has 8 children, so they've attended the school. He has grandchildren currently who attend the school. And Brother Askia's in security. That's his profession. But on our board, he's working with public relations at, no, I'm sorry, facilities, the building itself. And then lastly, but certainly not least, we have Lorenzo Bia, who is a graduate of the University of Islam, 1976. And Brother Lorenzo is in construction, and he is also working with facilities on the board. So that is our board. And we have those are 9 members of the board who are appointed, like I said, by the Majlis. And the Majlis is under the Atlanta Masjid.
Yes, ma'am. I sure appreciate that. We're going to open the telephone lines up, and you can join the conversation at 805-727-7013. That is 805-727-7013. As we prepare to open the board, we'll be Office of Institutional Advancement to take up another collection. I wouldn't be a good preacher all my life as a preacher. And they said it's not, there haven't been mosque or church or temple meeting if there isn't a collection. So let's you all proceed to take the collection up again. With the Director of Institutional Advancement, please give us the email address and the post office box, or the address where one can send money. And join you can join in the support group by sending your $1,000 donation and being one of the brave 100. And hopefully you will break the records and even be what part of the 1,000. Sister from the Office of Institutional Advancement.
Thank you so much, Imam Alfred. I was thinking as everybody else was talking, I was like, wow, I have a tough job. I got to keep asking for money. But anyway, our address is 735 Fayetteville Road, Southeast, Atlanta, Georgia, 30316. You can also give us a call at 404-378-4219. If you have any direct questions for myself, my name is Fatima Salam, and you can reach me at fatima.salam@muhammadschools.org. And you can also go to our website again, and our website is www.muhammadschools.org, and click on our annual fund and give that way as well. We make it very easy for you.
Yes. Let me ask you this. This is to the principal. And when we talk about education philosophy, we have Muslim schools all over these United States, and some of them share a particular philosophy. As a supporter, as I would put it, follower of Imam Muhammad, or using Quranic Arabic, mutaqid, one who follows, why would a person who is a follower or supporter of Imam W. Muhammad, why should they come to the Sister Claire Muhammad School, the W.D. Muhammad School, as opposed to going to a school headed by Sheikh Hoopa Hoopi? I don't know whether there's a sheikh existing like that or not. Only sheikh I like is a milkshake. And I'm quoting Imam Muhammad, my favorite is a vanilla milkshake, so I don't know.
You know, the first thing that comes to my mind, if we can just keep it real,
yes,
is that song that when I was growing up, there was a group that used to sing it, the Propagators, and they used to sing the song, Birds of a Feather Flock Together, That's the Only Way That We Make Things Better. And so that's the first thing that comes to mind, is that Imam Muhammad had a great vision for our community when he talked about CPC and this idea of business advancement and education, and any sensible people who really want to see themselves collectively advanced, they come together, they unite. And so this is important for us because our philosophy and our ideas and how we actually practice the religion has its own spin and twist. Imam Muhammad groomed us in a way that other people who are good Muslims don't necessarily aspire the way that we do. We have our own particular interests and our own particular needs as a community. And I know some of the students that we have who do come from some of the other schools that may be Muslim schools, when they come to us, they tell us they feel at home with us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they can't put their hand on exactly what it is, but it is the experiences that we have come through as a people that helps us to connect with one another and to feel a sense of togetherness. And that's important for us to not overlook or to disregard or to think that it's not important. It is important for us as individuals to know that we have something that ties us all together.
Yes, ma'am. I'm afraid to ask more questions. I'm surrounded by a teacher, and the studio is my wife is a teacher, and I'm surrounded by all you educators. The preacher in me wants to come out, but I'm going to tell him, you know, look, we're going to give you an F, sir, if you come out. So we're going to stay right within that confine. But I do want to ask you this question. It would seem that there's a competition on the global stage for what the life of man, what's the life of human beings should be in man, I mean the mind of the human being. We're competing with the Chinese. We're competing with others. And I think we're competing. I don't believe really we have it. I believe just like your basketball team is ahead, I don't believe we really have any competition. And one, I just have to share this, and then I would like for you all to comment on it. Imam Muhammad told a group of us imams, he said, it is his belief that the human being is born a genius, and it is the world that makes them other than a genius. And he was saying that when we visited many of the so-called Ivy League institutions, and the Oxfords and the Calibers, etc., we find that some of the people there are not as equipped as we are. And I think it's also very important we imbue our students that they're part of the global community. And, you know, when you said global citizen, I thought you had read my lecture notes. And I said, wow, because that's what I'm going to be talking about the first Sunday in Chicago. First Sunday in Chicago at Mosque Cares. My address is the emergence of global man, the committed witness. And I like the idea when you talk about the global citizen. Would you elaborate? I would like to hear all three of you, if our PTA president is still with us. Tell us what that means when you say preparing them for global citizens. I know you didn't say you were preparing them for citizens of America, South America, just the Muslim world, but a global citizen. Tell us what that means to you and what it means to the Muhammad School system.
Okay. I'll go first as the president of IPTSA. When we talk about global citizens, sometimes we think of something physical. And so we say, our students may not have traveled here or may not have traveled there. But we know that our students are growing in a very technologically savvy kind of world. And in being technologically savvy, they have to be responsible. And so that's one of the responsibilities that we try to impart on our students, being responsible. So when they're looking at all of these things across the world, they have to be those types of global citizens. They have to be able to articulate and to be a critical thinker when what is wrong and what is right, what is Islamic and what isn't. How can I do this and advance myself? They can't use the excuses of I can't. And when I tell my children and other people's children, when you say can't, you mean certainly am not trying. You have to try to be someone who can excel. It's already there innate, as you said earlier. Children have the innate nature to be genius, but we have to put them in certain kinds of environment to make sure that that genius is not only brought out, but that it continues to grow and strive. And so those are the global citizens that we're also thinking of. But we also want our children to be able to travel. They need to travel outside of Decatur, Georgia, travel outside of the state of Georgia itself. They have to be able to travel the world and be able to go to these different places and still feel like they fit in. We don't want our children to feel like wherever they go in this world that they're the stick out, the sore. We want them to be the ones who feel like they are the leaders or the ones that are purposed to be wherever they are at whatever time.
Also, one big thing about what comes to my mind is that we're building world leaders. And as world leaders, then they have to be exactly as Sister Naima said, able to deal with the technology from a moral perspective. You know, they're exposed to a lot, and the things that we were not ever privy to, and some things I can say now I didn't know about it until I was way into adulthood. Our children know about it. They're exposed to it. Mm-hmm. So then it is, now, what do you do with this knowledge? What do you do with this information to be effective with it as a Muslim? That's one thing. Mm-hmm. Then being a world leader, we think about all of the careers that are out there. And for our children not to get stuck in a hole and think, I've got to go into the career that's going to give me the most money, where I can yield the greatest amount of income, then they are doing themselves a disservice. We already said, as in our mission statement, that Allah has given them certain gifts and certain talents. And we get them to tap into that and to make that the premise that they use to make their contribution in the world. And that's what our students have done. So if you look at it, we have like Imam Mansour, who's now the Imam of the Atlanta Masjid. He is from the class of 1999 in Muhammad Schools. And in being from that class, he traveled to Malaysia and to other countries and studied and learned in addition to what he learned at our school. But I don't think he would have been able to make it successfully had he not gotten what he got at the Muhammad Schools, that foundation at the Muhammad Schools. Imam Suleiman, who is his assistant, coming through the Muhammad Schools, getting that foundation. We have right now an ambassador for the United States of America who lives in Saudi Arabia. He is from the Muhammad Schools of Atlanta. He got that education right here in Atlanta. And we have students all over the world, South Africa, Turkey. Our students come from here, this little place in Atlanta, and we call our school the Little Big School on the Hill because we make big things happen at this small institution. When you look at Sister Fatima, I went to a meeting the other day, and I listened to these people from all these other independent schools, and they have big institutions that have been around for over 100 years, and they have all these big endowment funds and all of that, and that makes us look little to them. But for us, it's big because of the products that we're producing. That's the effect of global citizens we're talking about. So our students at the Muhammad Schools have the opportunity to participate in Peace by Peace, which is an interfaith organization, and our students interact with students of the Christian faith, of the Jewish faith, and they share doctrines and ideas, and they come back stronger Muslims because of that experience. Our students participate in a faith-to-faith organization, which is an international organization of interfaith studies, and they have the opportunity to learn from children all over the world who are in different religions, not just Muslims. We also are able to participate in mock trial and Model UN and other programs, so it's not just athletics that we do. We try to produce this well-rounded individual, and so in being well-rounded, then they are able to really be these global citizens with their mind first and then able to feel confident in going out into the world, whether it is at the courthouse right here in our county or the White House or the internationally serving on as ambassadors.
Yes,
Well, I would like to say, first of all, it's difficult coming after Sister Naima with her perspective, very intelligent, and I love the way she talked about how our children are definitely already connected, and then how Sister Karan eloquently described the opportunities that our children have right now at the school. And what I would like to add is that there was a book that came out about 10 years ago that was called The World is Flat, and in that book, the author predicted that we would arrive at a time that our children could no longer just be nationalist or just know what's going on in their local community. We would arrive at a place that they would have to be global. And so what's so beautiful about our school and about the fact that we have a legacy of alumni who have gone out in the world, but we also are Muslims, and so we know that we're connected to a wider universe more than any other type of school here in America. And so we know that we have Muslims all over the globe, and so we were just to connect with the Muslims all over the country, we would definitely have that. We do have that up on other cultures and other schools. And another thing that's so important about our school and about the fact that we're Muslims is that we don't have those barriers where we believe that because we are Muslim we're better than someone else, or because someone comes from another country we're better than that person. And so it's inherent in our belief system to is our philosophy to embrace other people, and it's our philosophy to travel the world because we go on pilgrimage once in our lifetime, inshallah. And so that is what's so beautiful. It comes natural. It's organic. It's prescribed. We don't have to make it up. And so as a parent of four children, I see that in my children. I don't have to go out of my way because it's already in them, but they are in an environment, too, that supports that connection. And so I'm just so blessed and glad that my children are able to attend the school, and I'm so proud of the fact that we've had this opportunity to come on to your show and share with you about our school. Thank you so much. As I told you, I was going to have to leave early, but thank you so much for allowing us to have this opportunity to be on your show.
Thank you so much. Would you stay for a caller, or do you have to go? We have a caller that would like to make a question or comment. Caller from 310 area code, your own religion means alive with the Atlanta school system, the Muslim school system. Caller?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum
assalam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Alfred. Assalamu alaikum to Sister Naima, Sister Fatima, and Sister Quran, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Walaikum assalam.
Yes, sir.
My name is Brother Hafiq Ibn Muhammad, and I'm calling from Los Angeles, California, and I am a former alumni of Sister Clare Muhammad School, and when I heard that y'all was going to be talking about my school, I said, I had to call in. I just had to call in and congratulate you and commend you. I want to commend you, sisters, and thank you for holding the line and holding the legacy, and it warms my heart to just hear your comments. And because I remember those days being taught by sisters like yourselves, and I'm honored to just to call you and congratulate you and thank you and encourage you to keep up the good work, because it's a definite need, especially for young Muslims in the country, because here in Los Angeles, we don't have a Sister Clare Muhammad School anymore, and it's unfortunate, but I'm proud to know that my school still exists somewhere in the country, and it's in Atlanta, and y'all doing an excellent job. And I just wanted to call and commend you on that.
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And, you know, and also, too, if I may add, you know, your comments were excellent. You know, and for me, growing up in the Muslim school, being raised in the Nation of Islam, you know, I used to think I was a little young black guy until Imam Muhammad came in and civilized us and gave us the right perspective of, you know, how we should direct our energies. But growing up in the Sister Clare Muhammad School, in the Muslim school system, it gave me a spirit that we were undefeatable. We weren't blessed like you all to have like a basketball team, but we had like a little bitty raggedy rim and a backboard. So we used to play on that, but we had like a little traveling team. And so the spirit in us as Muslims growing up in the Muslim school, coming from the legacy of the Nation of Islam, as we would travel to different park leagues and stuff like that, we had a spirit in us that we weren't going to lose to no non-Muslims. That was just a spirit that we had. And so we also went undefeated in the little park league. So it brings joy to my heart to hear that the team is in Atlanta still doing good. But more importantly, that Muslim students are being taught the Quran, and that's very, 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 very important, especially for Muslim students. And alhamdulillah, I'm just proud and honored to be associated with the legacy and to know that it's still continuing. So please keep up the good work.
And Brother Imam Hafiq, soon and very soon, the bar for my African-American Christian background, we're going to have a school system in Los Angeles.
Yes,
and
sir.
You can go run to the bank on that one, I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is going to happen. We're going to have a school system throughout the United States. Now, you all educators, you all excuse me. The preacher's coming out of me now. I'm excited. I'm excited because God Almighty himself has blessed us. And I'm going to now turn to a question. What is the role of the well, let's just say first role of the Muhammad schools in the uplifting of the people which we came from, the African-American people. And the reason I ask that, because let me preface that. I'm an unusually man, so I have to always preface mine with some Islamic ideals for the sheikhologist and others may, put me out of the club. And I want them to know I'm not a bootleg or a jackleg imam. So I'm going to ask them in an Islamic context. There are five criteria for Islamic law. The fifth is what is called urf, that which is customary. And I want to know how our African-American communities, even though Atlanta is rich, you got Buckhead, you got African-Americans, probably the wealthiest county in the country is, I believe, Fulton County, Decatur County,
mm-hmm.
counties.
Mm-hmm.
What is our role in giving our African-American people hope and a plan for making them the global citizens, and making them to know, and that our children are imbued, but that they have an obligation that they didn't just become Muslims, but before them was Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, that was the great Horace Mann Bond of Atlanta University. All of these great institutions, Charlotte Hawkins Brown came before us. And I just want to know, how are we imbuing our students with this sense of, as the French would call it, nobler oblis, or what is called in Islamic law studies, urf? What is the philosophical underpinning of bringing out the obligation of a student to the city or age? God says in the Quran, and he calls to witness the citizen to their environment in Surah Baqarah.
Mm-hmm. Well, legacy and tradition is important for us. Mm-hmm. And in our curriculum, one of the things, having come from the tradition of being the English teacher, it was very important to me and been working with our curriculum team, it was important that we taught Islam and then also taught our heritage in the tradition of Sister Clara Muhammad. That was the main reason that she wanted to teach her children, was because they were not getting their own history. And we know that our roots and our history are important, like the roots on a tree are important. So in our teachings at our school, the teachers know that when you select literature, we are required to select readings and stories and the information that will give the Islamic perspective and the African from the African diaspora that experience as well. So our field trips, we go to see, like we just left a trip to see Paul Robeson. So they'll remember who these individuals are that contributed to our own history here. You know, I talk about the fact we have a unique experience, and we have to teach our children that. They have to ground themselves in that so they know they come from good stock and that they have legacies and traditions to uphold as they go forward.
I'd like to add something after that. If I could, this is Sister Naima again. Even in knowing our history as African American people and having the Muhammad schools at Atlanta, we also have to know that our children are growing up in a sociological time. And so when we start thinking about how these schools was established in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, there was something to fight for. And so the children these days, they really don't understand sometimes or even know what Black history stood for, what it meant to be amongst the civil rights people. So here in Atlanta, we do have a rich history of civil rights, so we try to make sure that our children are tapped into that, but also that they know and understand sociologically, just because you see people as African-American do it doesn't make it right. And so we do have in our school, and I know some people may not even look at this, but we have a uniform dress code. And it's uniform because why? We want our children to look as one, but we want them to be dignified when they're wearing their uniform. They must wear their navy blue pants. They must wear a belt. They must wear their white shirt. They must wear their white ties. The girls must wear dresses or pants. They must wear their over jacket on top of their white shirts. They must wear a scarf. They have to look dignified. dignified, coming to be educated, and making sure that they're not identifying with what they see in the society as what, quote-unquote, society says black people should be. And not only just that, but what is the stigma of what does it mean to be black and African-American, that we are showing them it is okay to be beautiful as African-American people. It's okay to be Muslim as African-American people, and it's okay to live it and to look it. And so we, you know, as we talk to our students and our children, we have to let them know that how you dress is how you get addressed. And so if we want to be addressed as Muslim, we have to dress as that, not only in the physical sense, but in the how they speak to each other. You know, we can't let our children get clogged in this mindset of whatever is in society is okay. We have to make sure that they differentiate themselves from what society is showing us. And so people should also think, when they think of Muhammad Schools of Atlanta, they should be proud that there are still people amongst the African-American communities that have a strong sense of legacy, a strong sense of respect for themselves, that they're courageous enough to want to be Muslims here in the United States of America, here in the city of Atlanta, and that through that courage, they're sacrificing still their lives, their livelihood, everything to put their children in an environment that, inshallah, is going to produce the best outcome, not only just for their family, but for the whole of society.
That makes me want to go in my pocket, write you a $10,000 check.
Go for it, Imam Alfred. This is Fashmi. I keep trying to step away. I'm so riveted by what Sister Naeem and Sister Karan
We're riveted by you, and we don't want you to step away. I'm standing next to a Fatima, so you're the cyber Fatima. You're getting me tongue-tied. So between the two Fatimas, you have to stay. Please.
Okay. I'll defer to your wife, but I will say this. So when we look at, you know, what is it that we're offering, as a mother of four girls, what's so critical and so important for our school to stand for years to come is I really believe that it's a place of safety and honor for our girl children. I know that from studies that I've watched and read about what's going on in the middle schools and what's going on in the high schools towards girls, especially African-American girls, where they're basically being sexually harassed as soon as they step off their buses or walk out of their neighborhoods. And so we have to protect our legacy. We have to be a symbol in the society of honor and dignity for women, where they can come free to express their intelligence, to express their minds, to express their belief system, to be able to dress in the manner in which gives them dignity. And so that's mm-hmm. just another layer of what Muhammad Schools of Atlanta offers the surrounding community and the country. And so I'm definitely a believer that we have to safeguard our educational system because it was started so that our women would have dignity as well. And so we have to keep that legacy alive.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Holly again. I just wanted to say, sisters, please, like what you just said, safeguard the legacy is so important. It's very important because we have Muslims who are, so our so-called Muslims in our association who are trying to justify the idea of getting charter schools in our communities. And one of the rumors or things that I heard here in L.A. Was, oh, yeah, we having problems. They having problems in Atlanta with the Muslim school. And I don't know what the situation was, but I defended it, and I was ready to fight. I don't know what they were trying to bring up negative things that were going on in the school. And I told them, look here, I don't want to hear that, and you shouldn't be telling people that. But what they're trying to do, we have elements within the community trying to, instead of safeguarding our schools, putting negative seeds in the community so that people can downplay the legacy, downplay the importance of having a Muslim school, and to justify, in my mind, being a welfare recipient and depending on charter school. Well, that's no different from welfare as far as I'm concerned. If Muslims, we have to do whatever is necessary to establish our own, and we have our own, And for the benefit of safeguarding our minds and protecting the chastity of our children. We should not, as a community, it doesn't make any sense for us to allow our children to raise them and then put them out there in the world for slaughter. That makes no sense. And when we take away our Muslim schools, that's what we're doing. We're bringing our kids for slaughter. So please keep up the excellent work that you're doing. There are elements out there in the community putting negative seeds out there, trying to put negative talk out there, but continue to, like you said, just to safeguard the legacy, and Allah will reward you all.
I have a question there, Sister Fatima. My wife is an educator. She like to ask a question.
Assalamu alaikum. How you guys doing? Sisters, I'm interested in, several things. I've been listening to you, but the first thing is, what came in my mind was a boarding school, because I know a lot of children can't afford to come down there. It's not a question of the tuition, because they might be paying tuition, but it was a question of where to live. And I know there were several sisters that I knew who had children who wanted to send their children down there, but just didn't know a place to set up, any place to live, where to go, during the weekend or anything like that. And so I wanted to know, did that come to your board's mind as far as how you could be accessible to the children around the country? And that was the main question. I have a friend of mine. Just a little bit personal. I have a very good friend of mine named Yusef, who's your math teacher down there. And he used to be your math teacher, your physics teacher. And he comes from Newark, New Jersey, like I do. We grew up together. So if he's listening, I want to say hi, Yusef. Assalamu alaikum. How you doing?
Or to use you in the parlance, what's up?
And if one of you could comment on that, I'd be real interested. Thank you so much.
I'd like to comment. I know Sister Karan knows that we, as a school, we do have a strategy for people who are interested. And what I like to tell parents when they're interested in coming to Muhammad schools, if you don't ask, you don't know the answer. And so we always make sure that people want to be the forefront of making sure that they ask the question first. So people, we don't necessarily have a boarding school, but we do have families that when we have children that want to come to Muhammad schools, they do board different children. I personally have boarded two students in my home. We've even had someone come as far as, was it Indonesia, Sister Quran?
Yes.
Yeah, she came from Indonesia, and she came to our school because she brought them Thailand. And she boarded with us, with the family here in Atlanta. And alhamdulillah, she was able to graduate and has gone back to Thailand. But we do board students here. It's just a question of making sure, we do interviews with the boarding family as well as interviews with the family who would like their student boarded. In the future, hopefully we can have a system for boarding, but currently we do have a smaller system in place where we have reliable families that allow people to come and have their children in their homes. But Sister Karan can add on to that.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say, Sister Naima, and that's something that we've had in place for a number of years, and we're grateful for the families that have come to us and the families that have boarded our children who wanted to live here. I've also boarded children who wanted to come to the school and be a part of the school system here.
I want to congratulate you all and to tell you that this ministry, the ministry of Imam Alfred Muhammad, which is my ministry, the independent ministry, is 100% behind you all and with you, not behind you. Sometimes people behind you, they put a knife in your back, so we don't want that. But I only want to support schools that have good governance, and you all have a good governance. I like you all, what you're doing, and what I also like is that you're protecting our young people, our Muslim young people, from the Rick Rosses, the Push-to-Twos, and the Push-to-Tees, and all the rest of them, and the Two Chains, and the Four Chains, and the Slave Chains, and also protecting our young people, preparing them against the Dirty Does and the Foucaults and all the so-called academic hooligans that are out here too, because one of the things that happens, unless a person is equipped philosophically, when one goes to the university, they can be slaughtered. So it is my firm belief that Almighty God himself is already blessing us, and we're going to have not only a school system, but we're going to build a complete educational system. And I want you all to stay tuned to Religion Means Alive. We're going to have a brother on the program. I think he's on the 25th, Dr. Tony Alamine. I mean, he's not an ND. He's an MD. And we're already planning to develop a medical school. Now, I know you all think that's far-fetched, but I'm from the school of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which said, up you mighty people, you can accomplish what you will.
Yep.
I just had to make this comment because I want you to know that we'd like for you to come back next month. We would like to have you on a regular basis with whomever you designate, because we want to highlight the school system. We're going to preserve it. We're going to put everything we have behind it. We're going to mobilize this 2.5 million people. See, this community, the people you see attending the massages, even in Atlanta, is no more than 10% of our population, maybe 5%. Uh-huh. Every city in this country, the vast majority of our people are not the unmasjid, masajid. And then the other groups of African Americans are up for grabs. So I'm glad to see you all doing this work, because you're continuing the legacy of Dr. Mays, of Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois, of all the great Cottage Woodson. You were in the Clan Muhammad. That goes without saying, since Clan Muhammad. But I just wanted to say that you're in a long legacy. And also you're doing something to counteract the Harvard-based political scientist Samuel P. Huntington. Huntington said that there's a clash of civilization, Islam versus the West. But my answer to Samuel P. Huntington is this. There was a theft of a civilization, and Almighty God himself has blessed us by saying, when they decided they're going to make us an ignorant people, God answered them. Well, Makaru or Makaru Allah, Allahu Kairan Makaran. They plotted and God plotted. And mm-hmm. God is the best of plotters. And who said that the people that were brought to Georgia, when Georgia was a place of the mental hospitals of the Caucasians that brought us to Georgia, that they would have a Clara Muhammad school? But the all-wise, true, and living God knew for a fact that we will have our school, and never on our last body and the last man, woman, and child, we will never let the schools in Atlanta be closed. We will never let the school system in Los Angeles be forgotten. It's in my mind, in my spirit. I was telling my young son today, I said, son, you know, your grandfather and your great-grandfather wanted to be a doctor. My career was derailed in medicine by the call to help the Honorable Elijah Muhammad build a nation. And then I joined Imam Muhammad in his work. And I have not given up, and I won't give up until they throw dirt on me. And I think I got enough energy to last for a while. We're not going to stop until our ministry becomes bigger than anything in America, to make sure that Imam W.D. Muhammad's philosophy imbues not only the African-American community, but the American community. And I want to congratulate you and let you all know that you are doing a wonderful job. Now, so much for the sermon. We're going to have one more. I want you all to get back to asking for the money again. And then I would like for you all to comment on the cultural activities at the school, and we're going to have you back on again, and I hope you will have one of your young people that can sing, and eventually we will be on TV, so you all have one of your young people, some of your young people to perform a dance, and no, it won't be the buck dance, it'll be the victory dance. So I was looking in the Muslim Journal, I was so sorry I didn't have any type of visual, well, my imagination's wild, but I was not able to see that performance, because culture is vitally important. So close us out with two financial pitches, and then close us out with telling us about the cultural activity. Then you have to obligate yourself, please, to come back on our program again for global education. We're going to call it the next time Global Education, featuring the Atlanta school system. And, Brother Imam, don't worry out there in Los Angeles. You know, Los Angeles is not lost. The angel has been found in Imam Hatip. So Los Angeles is going to be okay. We're going to bring it. We're going to bring light. In fact, we're going to bring light back to this 2,000, about 3,000-mile insane asylum called America. We're going to change this. We're going to bring this light. We're going to broadcast Imam Muhammad's message throughout this land. And after a while, from this land, it will go throughout the land. So, sisters, let me. I don't want to get an F on my class. You all teachers, I'm surrounded by you all. I want you to have the class to be dismissed nicely. And now you all continue. Thank you.
Fatima.
Yes, this is Fatima again. And I just wanted to say that, you know, $1,000 is a huge dedication and show of commitment for the school. And so if that's not something that you feel like you can commit to right now, we have other programs, a dollar a day where you can commit to a dollar a day. You can still go online to do that. You can also mail it in. Anything that you're able to give, whether it's $5, we know that President Barack Obama was able to win his election and go forward in an incredible historic win based on the every man just being able to give a dollar, $5. And so we welcome any kind of contribution to our school, and it doesn't have to just be financial. We also welcome any ideas and suggestions, and so please feel free to reach out to us as soon as possible. Sister Karana, Sister Naima, would you all like me to talk about the cultural event, or would one of you like to do that?
I can just talk about the next
one.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to talk about the next two events happening at Muhammad Schools of Atlanta. Of course, we have this coming Wednesday is the IPTSCA regular meeting, Wednesday at 6:30 at Muhammad Schools. The workshop will be called Reforming Your Life for the Best of 2013. So we're encouraging all parents, students, teachers, and community members to come out to that workshop about reforming your life for the best of 2013. Additionally, the IPTSCA will be sponsoring PEP Day, which is Play More, Eat Right, and Power Down. This is a specific day where we'll be talking about how to live active lifestyles, eating healthy, and how to play hard and healthy with your family. So we'll be having family practitioners, we'll be having martial arts, Zumba classes, small kids and parents classes, health food stores will be there. We'll have farmers markets representatives, community garden representatives, as well as community co-ops. So if you're interested in going to that, you can go to the Muhammad Schools Facebook page and see those events and invite yourself as well as your family. And I will leave that on to Sister Karan.
I'm excited to share that our high school drama class is right now in the process of learning the history of music. And they are going to write their own musical and produce their own musical. So everyone should get excited with us and look for more details about the musical that they will produce. And it will be probably at the end of April that they'll actually present it. And what they'll do, 2 years ago we did a musical where we highlighted child soldiers and this idea of children and involving them globally and what happens with our children. And they did a phenomenal job with that. So now they're doing a musical on the history of music, and I don't want to tell too much about it because they're doing a whole lot of research and gathering of their
information. Madam Principal, Sister Principal, if you do that, we obligate you to come on our program. So we, you know, don't tell us too much. You get our appetites up. is it possible for next month for you all to bring on a little taste of your cultural program? One of your performers could come on the program. We're going to give you mm-hmm. 2 hours of your. I know you've gotten would have gotten $1 million by now, so you won't need me for that. But we would need to. We would like to have you to have some of the cultural taste of the cultural performance to be on the program mm-hmm. next time you're on.
Yeah,
Well, thank you so much. That sounds fantastic, because then that allows us to also showcase the talent of our students. We had the entire school participate in our event that we were graciously invited to partner with the Muslim Journal. And so definitely I will make sure that we can get some students together and we can all come together and talk about and share the showcase, because it's nothing like seeing our students in action and seeing their spirit and seeing the wonderful things that they're able to bring to the stage. And so if you just, you know, let me know the day and time, I'll definitely work to make sure that happens.
And you know what? I'm going to make another suggestion to, you know, the Fisk University had what they call the Jubilee Singers. And the Jubilee Singers traveled throughout the United States and throughout the world, sharing the rich culture of our people. And they raised large sums of money. So Office of Institutional Advancement, you got your fundraiser. You know, I think the people of this community would love to have you, and Imam Alfred Ministry would very much love to host you as we make our regional tour, and you all could perform and certainly raise money for the school. Again, we're going to make the school the gym of our community. We like the governance that you have, and we are going to give that school our 100% support, as we're going to give the school, make sure that we have a school in Los Angeles.
Inshallah. And again, we thank you for having us on, and we're proud of what you're doing, also, Ma'am Alfred, what you're doing to get the word out to our people and to the community, to keep them informed about what's going on around the country with Muslims in America, especially those under the leadership of Imam Ahmed.
We really thank you from the bottom of our heart, and we appreciate you all and salute you with the highest nobility. Those who would like to stay, we're going to have a guest on our next part from Boston, and we're going to go, in fact, we're going to go overtime. You all inspired us, so we're going to go over, and I will be in touch with you all so we can have you back on again. But with the provisio, yes. Are we on?
You there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Yes.
We're here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Sister Naima, Sister Quran, and Sister, I can't forget Sister Fatima, because your name is Fatima, so I'm suffering from memory losses. Indeed, I thank you all for coming on the program. Religion Means Alive. Peace be on you, and we're looking forward to seeing you in the very near future on Religion Means Alive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, we have with us as our guests Sister, I believe, Latifa, and Sister Latifa from Boston, Massachusetts. And Sister Latifa, would you care to open with an opening statement? Get away from the board, please. Let me do that.
I don't want to say it. Red is way too fuck.
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Latifa. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello?
Hi, my name is Joseph Muhammad. I am the son of Imam Alpha Muhammad. We are waiting for a guest to come on. The name of this guest is called Sister Latifa. She is a great guest, and I cannot wait for you to hear her astounding words. In February, we are having Savior's Day, which the great Imam Alfa Muhammad will be speaking at. He will have a great speech about the expansion of global man. He will have a speech of the thing of global man.
Thank you, Joseph Muhammad, who substituted for me. He did a wonderful job. I'm not speaking at Savior's Day, but I am speaking the first Sunday in Chicago at Mosque Cares headquarters. And my address will be the emergence of global man, the reluctant witness. The committed witness. Now we have with us Sister Latifa, and I believe she has with her another guest. Welcome to Religion Means Alive.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for having us on this evening. Alfred, this is Kareem Ali. He's on the line with me, and we're both part of a really exciting event that's about to take place. And we talked earlier, and I just wanted to share with your listening audience some of the wonderful things that are happening right up the pike, right in D.C. for the inauguration.
How was about it, Sister Latifa? And also welcome Brother Ali, who's with us from, looks like, the great city of Baltimore or the Washington area. Yes, welcome to, we didn't bring him on yet, yeah. Welcome to Religion Means Alive. Brother Ali?
Yes, yes. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Would you all tell us what this event is that you're so excited about? I guess it has thawed the snow in Boston that you're so excited.
So
well,
lucky that you want
this
to
thing's
that.
Melting all the ice, so don't believe the hype.
Right.
The energy that's coming out of D.C. is really setting the whole nation ablaze with enlightenment. And this is, they say the second mouse gets the cheese, and we really do believe that not only is it iconic that President Barack Obama would be the 44th United States president getting his second historic election at this time, but also that the stars would align so that it would be Martin Luther King Day in Washington, D.C. for this historic occasion. So there's a lot happening, a lot of symbolism, a lot of changes, and the Mayans just might be right. The world did maybe end a little bit, and it's opening up to be something really spectacular. So I'll let Kareem say a couple things about what's going on in D.C.
Well, certainly. Thank you, Latifa, and thank your radio show for inviting us to be able to talk about this event. This is the second Muslim inaugural gala. Heralds from the 2009 election of President Barack Obama, where our group, the same group, hosted an affair here in Washington, D.C., sort of to commemorate that election and that presidency. Alhamdulillah, we're able to do it again. We're back here in 2013. And it will take place at the Capitol Hill Eastern Market in northeast of Washington, D.C. It's quite a historical venue on Capitol Hill, so the backdrop is going to be really nice. And we really looking forward to the Muslims in this national capital region, to really come out, and those in the outlying areas and those around the country that have the wherewithal and that will be visiting Washington to come and take part in the celebration. It'll be part sort of entertainment, networking, but also we'd like to sort of strike a chord where we can, have discussion about some of the important issues, that are being faced, by Muslims and other faith groups and individuals, in this second presidential term of President Barack Obama. So I think that there's a lot of dialogue that needs to be had about that, and we hope to not only present, this event that evening for the audience that will be in Washington, D.C., but we also intend to broadcast it live via the Internet, and so there will be a live stream as well.
And we're really excited. I mean, there's a lot of symbolism in this event. I mean, it's really a huge undertaking in many ways. I mean, just from an Islamic perspective, good things come in odd numbers, right? So in 2009, we had 300 of the most influential
inauguration.
What'd you say? Alfred?
Well, go ahead, Latifa. We used we had 300.
Yeah. So in 2009, we had 300 key leaders come to that first event. We're expecting something really remarkable also to happen to 2013. But in 2009, we had everyone in the room from Ingrid Mattson, the first female president of ISMA, the Islamic Society of North America, to Zaid Shaker, coming from Zaytuna Institute. We had a slew of local imam leaders, particularly out of Masjid Muhammad, who is we dub as the nation's masjid. We had Preacher Moss, who was there, who's actually now going to be our funny power host, along with Hujra Wahaj this year. So it's just snowballing into something really magnificent. We had four congressmen show up for that event. And believe it or not, they came because of the energy more than the invite. John Conyers, we had also a Congressman Keith Ellison, who's known for swearing in on the Quran, that historic swearing in. Andre Carson, Congressman Andre Carson, who's now our event co-chair for this program. This happening this year. And Dennis Kucinich was actually one of the first congressmen we introduced at that event. Kareem, do you want to add something to that?
Oh, I think you did really well. I think on the entertainment side, we are going to have a group called the Reminders, which is I think it's sort of a cross between R&B and neo-soul young artists that, you know, have created music, you know, with a consciousness and attention towards positivity, with some really cool sounds, you know, to light up the evening. You know, we also intend to hear the wonderful sounds of Wali Ali, and maybe you can give us a little bit more information about Wali Ali for those who perhaps don't know him, which is probably a few that don't that listen to this station. But go ahead, Latifa, tell us more about Wali.
Just so I can be impartial, I'll just say a couple words about the Reminders before I walk into Wali Ali. It's a little bit of a deeper story for me. But the Reminders, I'm really blown away by this husband and wife duo. I equate them to what you would call the Muslim Black Eyed Peas. They are the most upcoming Muslim group, bar none, I'd say, coming out of the community. And what I really like about them is they're a crossover group. So people can listen to them, and they'll start bopping their heads, and they won't even realize how potent the message is because the music sounds so good. And the sound is so original, and the couple really exudes not only being a entertainment group, but also the merits of marriage and the foundation of what we're trying to bring back to communities of color, particularly in this country. So they are a group to look out for. One of the things I love about them is that they talk, even in their songs, about their children, and it's just a really holistic, clean, progressive, intriguing style that America really hasn't seen yet. So I think Snoop Doggy Dogg said it best when he tweeted to his 4 million followers that this is a group to look out for. In addition to that, Wali Ali, I mean, you got to be careful what you let your children listen to. I was in the third grade when I heard his signature song, which ended up really being the African-American Muslim anthem, at least at all our FEMS banquets, Images. Images was a song that was dispelling myths all around the country. It was really a huge Dawa tool, and he didn't actually write it, but he sung it, and it was a product of W.D. Muhammad through the Crave Committee. So this is just an unbelievable, you know, we talk about the Black National Anthem and the American Anthem and all these kind of things, but here we have the Muslim African-American Anthem really setting the tone for this historic second presidential election. And I loved him so much in the third grade that 30 years later I married him because the message was sunk so far deep within my soul. So you guys just got to catch a whiff of who Wale Ali is. And what's really deep about him is he's not only a musician, but he's an imam. So he's doing the Pied Piper right to the Masala kind of thing going on here. And in addition to that, he's a perfectionist in what he does. I also call him the B.B. King of the Muslim world, or the Luther Vandross, if you ever heard him sing. And I'm not alone. He has thousands of Facebook friends out there that listen to all of his music, and he's really just it's really just a marriage of two of the best worlds, the Reminders being this new neo-soul, like you're talking about, hip-hop group with a message, and Wale Ali's Images. There's never been something like this before in this kind of manner. And then we have multicultural other entertainment. We have African drummers. We have spoken word artists. We have other singers. I mean, but it's just a slew of some of the best.
Sister Adipa and Brother Ali, where will this event be held? Again, repeat for our audience where the event will be held and if there is a cost associated with it.
Sure. You want me to give that address? It actually will be at the historic Eastern Market. That's at 225 7th Street, Southeast, Washington, D.C.
How far is it from the inauguration base at the Capitol?
Well, this actually will be on Capitol Hill, so it'll be fairly close. Washington, D.C. will set a very nice backdrop for this inauguration.
I want to commend you all for the wonderful work, because I think it's just a marvelous opportunity, and also that letting people know that we're stepping on the global stage, that the African-American Muslims who made famous the bean pie and the bean soup and now are putting its signature citizenship presence on the global stage. Now, my dear brother and dear sister, what is there a cost associated with this event?
Well, I'll see if you have the updated ticket prices.
Yeah, we're running a special actually for this week. Up until Friday, you can buy two tickets for $50 each. That's a special. We were actually at $75 up until this point, but we wanted to make it as economical.
Do you reserve a ticket for Imam Alfred and his wife? Because I certainly want to be there. I wouldn't miss this for all the, well, I wouldn't say the tea in China, but I mean, look, all the megabytes.
All the ivory in Africa, right?
Yes. Perhaps let's say the diamonds there in Africa.
there's not only diamonds in Africa. The diamonds are here in New Africa, right here in America. And
I agree with you.
All of the stars are really aligning. I mean, when I say that, I don't really mean to sound like it's a cliche. It's really, really occurring. If you want more information about that, you can go to Muslim Inaugural Gala.com and you can get all the information.
And again,
just
Latifa. Muslim Gala.
MuslimInaugualGala.com.
Brother, while I'm at it, I want the audience.
Ma'am Alfred? Green?
I'm still here, yes.
So I'm not sure if we're
I think there's a delay.
Yes, what I was asking is I wanted to, just by our audience, if both of you all would share your background, starting with Sister Latifa, and then let's then turn to Brother Kareem Ali.
Sure. Latifa Ali, I'm the wife of Wale Ali. I'm also a mom. I think those are probably my first credentials of three beautiful girls and some more from Wale Ali. And I'm right here from out of the Boston area, which is also one of our, I think, historic connections to you guys in D.C., with Kareem, as well as I grew up in New York City. So I know, Alfred, you're right there out of New York. So that's also my home state of New York, Brooklyn, New York. Grew up here in Boston, though, under the W.D. Muhammad community, went to Clara Muhammad School, went ahead and go back to the HBCUs right there at Hampton University, right there, not too far from the D.C. area, a couple of hours away. So had a piece of D.C. going to college. In addition to that, went to study community economic development, and you'll see in this program many spinoffs in connection to that. In fact, we're going to be talking about the Mansa Musa economic development model as part of this work. Kareem?
Okay, is it my point? My turn. Okay, alhamdulillah. Well, I herald from Newark, New Jersey, born and raised. I'm married for 25 years. I've got four children, three daughters, alhamdulillah, and one son. Actually, have been living here in Washington, D.C. Since 1990 with a background in aerospace engineering. Started out as a sort of jet mechanic and worked in the technology sector for, I guess, approximately 16 years, and I decided to make a change, and so I went back and got a master's in independent media and became a producer, director. For the last, say, 10 years, I've actually done television production, field work, and currently a producer of radio content, and I am a co-owner in a internet broadcasting company here in Washington, D.C.
Wow. I didn't know you were a mechanical aerospace engineer.
Oh, it's nothing all that big. We just, you know, turned a few screws.
Kareem, we will actually interview you on our program. So please be in touch with us at imamalfred@gmail.com so we can set up a time to interview you, a product of Newark, New Jersey. And
yes,
we want to know about you. But we would like to say to the audience at this time, if you know of any guests in our community, Muslim African-American community, or Imam Muhammad's community in particular, and the African-American community in general, that would be of interest to our audience. See, we're not pigs. We don't eat the pig, and we don't act like pigs. We don't want to hog up the airspace. We don't want to hog up the public space. We want everybody who has anything to offer our community of good to be brought forth to the community so the community can benefit from them. Because we know that with this 2.5 million people in our community, we should be far ahead if we just mobilize and galvanize and organize, educate, and coordinate the efforts, we can maximize and optimize even our community life. So whose idea was it to come up with this concept of the inaugural gala? I think it's a wonderful, exciting event, and I just can't see how anywhere I won't be there.
Oh, that's excellent. I'm so glad that you said that. It was really an organic beginning. It started out in Washington, D.C. with a group called Crescent Moon Nights who does entertainment in the area there, and they make sure you have clean entertainment. So this came out of that, which was kind of a nice beginning because it had loose political ties to anything, and so therefore we were able to get a perfect cross-section of diverse believers and heads of different Muslim organizations to come without feeling like they were going to support any individual group. They were all at the table as equal partners, almost like putting the black stone back into the Kaaba. So that was the perfect beginning for this event. Now we've structured it from 2009 to 2013, bringing the same group back for a quadrennial event. And this time we structured it so that our first honorary co-founder, yes.
Would you please give us the date again? I have somebody who's already eager to know the date, the time. Repeat that again, then I want you to go back.
Okay, so MLK Day, let's remember that's the story, January 21st from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's where it's going to be. And
The theme is multicultural.
Mm-hmm, Okay, sure. The number is 202-487-3874. That's 202-487-3874. Or you can call 202-716-5990. That's 202-716-5990. But I just wanted to touch upon it. It is a multicultural and interfaith affair. So we've made a special effort to work with both the Boston and D.C. communities to bring all kinds of cultural players to the table as well as...
will there be bus transportation for Boston or people? Will any transportation be provided or are you having a bus from Boston?
Well, we are, in fact. We're going to have transportation because we want to...